702.
You're with 702.
Your number one news and talk station.
All right, one of our favorite features here on Weekend Breakfast is the parenting feature. Nikki Bush joins me now live from Johannesburg. Nikki, today we're speaking about messy play.
That's right, Pamela. It's something that parents seem to shy away from because it's messy. And they leave it in the preschool classroom and at school so that the teachers can clean up after them. But it's something that's so valuable for children.
Why is it so valuable, Nikki?
Well, messy play usually involves things like mud, water, sand, Play-Doh, paint, stuff that can make a mess. But it also stimulates the skin, which is the biggest sensory organ of the body. So it absolutely calms us. I mean, have you played with Play-Doh recently? I have. And you just want to keep rolling and, you know, fiddling and manipulating. And that's the other thing, of course, when we play with these substances, we are using we're creating manual dexterity in the hands. So fine motor coordination, strengthening the hands for actually writing in the classroom. And it's just amazing how we can just get that sense of calm. At the same time, children are actually experimenting because there are fewer rules when it comes to messy play.
And the thing about messy play as well, though, is that it's not structured. So we don't get to dictate to them how to learn and how to manipulate certain substances, whether it's rocks, whether it is mud, whether it's sticks. They get to experience all of that by themselves and in turn, obviously, learning.
Yes, so they're master of the universe. And children spend so much time being directed by adults, whether it's teachers or parents. Messy play gives them the opportunity for that free play, for letting their imaginations wander.
So what are the kind of things that you can sort of encourage that kind of messy play? Because we are now living more and more in communities where we're closed off. We don't allow children to go out on the streets and play in those insecure areas. But how do we encourage children to actually get in there and experiment with dirt and stuff like that?
Okay, so if you have a swimming pool, there are occasions when you backwash your swimming pool.
Yes.
And that's a fantastic time to let kids go and play in the mud, because often that water goes out into the garden. If you've got a patch of grass that doesn't grow, get a bucket of water, and I know we've got water restrictions at the moment, so you can't give your children the hose pipe and give them free rein for an hour with dripping water. But you can give them a bucket, and they can go and make mud and start. And, you know, children will go and collect things like leaves and sticks and stones and make little villages and do the whole fantasy play thing like they would do with a doll's house, but actually do it in nature. The other thing that that they do in a mud spot is that they can get their little cars out and make car tracks. They can get their bikes out and make little ramps and then land in a puddle. Children love doing things like this. They actually love to get dirty.
Yes.
And we don't give them enough opportunity to get dirty. In fact, we often these days send them to a screen in the family room where they will stay clean, where we know where they are, where we think they're not getting up to mischief.
And there have been games, obviously, that have developed over the years, indigenous games that also speak to this kind of, you know, organic play, where you're not giving them a structured toy and you say, well, go out and do your thing and play and learn. And I'm thinking now of Digeto. Digeto is a game that's played with sort of little stone pebbles, and there's mats there as well.
Yes, so there's lots of counting in games like Digeto, and they have to pick up the stones. They have to put different numbers in, you know, in groups. And as you say, there are actually rules, but they don't have to be using necessarily a boxed game, a commercial game. But funnily enough, some of these traditional games that we've played in Africa over the years have very are kind of the basis for things like checkers and chess and backgammon. And so there is a connection to them. But I think what's interesting is that we should be encouraging children to make fun out of nothing. They don't always have to be being bought the latest and the greatest of anything or everything. And we need to remind them of some of these traditional games that are just such fun. And, you know, when you look at children with a skipping rope, You know, a skipping rope can bring so much joy and so much freedom in that movement that comes with skipping. And you don't have to skip on your own with a skipping rope. You can have five children playing, one long skipping rope, two children playing on either, you know, holding it on either side, and the other children doing the jumping and the chanting. And there's a whole lot of gross motor coordination. There's a whole lot of spatial planning going on there, and problem solving and counting, lots of rhythm. So and there's lots of that in something as simple as skipping.
And then another thing that I find quite interesting with a lot of these indigenous games is that they teach social skills, you know, because most of them are played within a group. And as you said, there are rules to be followed and people must stick to certain rules, even though they are still very young. But they start understanding how to be in a community and how to play with others and adjust to the rules.
That's right. So when you play in groups, there is turn taking, where it's our turn or it's not our turn, and then we have to wait. There's also the winning and the losing.
Yes, yes.
And so there's a bit of competition. Some games aren't competitive, but other games are, and we learn to play to win. But we also, when we play to win, we've got to learn how to lose gracefully. So the social skills of learning how to win and lose are important for children to acquire.
And so, I mean, apart from the games that we've just mentioned, what other games can children can we introduce to children in terms of messy play?
So for little children who are sitting in a high chair, you could give them a whole lot of cooked spaghetti, for example. So if you're having pasta for supper, you can give your baby in the high chair a lump of spaghetti to play with, and they love it. It's that ooey gooey stuff. They put it in their mouths, they put it in their hair, they rub it, you know, on the high chair. And so that's a good example. But Play-Doh, in fact, I recommend that parents keep a box of messy play stuff in their kitchen, because that's your safe space where you can have a mess spot which can be easily cleaned up. So keep your poster paints, your finger paints, your dough. What about just putting flour in an empty spice bottle or in a flour dredger? And you can let your children shake it onto your kitchen counter or onto a tray, and they can then draw with their finger in the flour. It's such a simple thing. For the littlies, they draw their shapes, they just doodle. For the older children, they can even do their homework, like doing numbers and letters and spelling. Changing the medium into messy play, it utilizes a lot more senses, so it makes the learning experience really very memorable. So they remember the spelling they did in the Play-Doh or in the flour. It's really fun.
We welcome your calls at 011-883-0702. If you have any questions for Nikki, specifically around messy play, are you finding that your children are attracted to messy play more than you'd like? Nikki, at which point do you hold yourself back and not stop them from actually eating what they're playing with?
As long as it's non-toxic, it's really fun. But you've just mentioned something here. Eating and messy play go together. We call it baking. In fact, after this show, I'm going to be going to bake some what I call chocolate melting moments. Because for me, baking is de-stressing. Because I'm rolling dough into balls and I'm squashing it with a fork. And please invite your children in to do this kind of thing with you. Because what we're doing with something like baking is we're talking about a concept of together and apart, where we take ingredients that are individual and we mix them together to create something completely different. This is a science experiment. This is also how children learn, with being able to analyze and synthesize. And when you can also make Play-Doh with your children, homemade Play-Doh, where you take flour, water, oil and salt, and you mix it together. You can actually, listeners can go onto my Toy Talk website, and there's a section called What to Play, and you can find there a homemade Play-Doh recipe.
Nikki, one of the things that I think this gives people an opportunity to do as well is to teach children how to also tidy up after themselves. So you get the opportunity to play, be messy, allow them all of that, and also you get a chance to teach them how to be responsible after that, how to then tidy up of them after themselves and sort of get back to that space of, you know, being tidy
order.
Yes.
Yeah, Pamela, that's absolutely right. And that goes for any kind of playtime. You know, whether you're doing messy play or whether you're pulling out all your Lego blocks and train sets and Barbie dolls, you are going to be making mess. So you're going to be creating chaos. And that's fine, as long as children know that at 5 o'clock this afternoon, we're all going to be tidying up. We're going to be throwing things back into the right boxes. We're going to be getting a cloth. We're going to be mopping up. That's part of the process. It's not separate to, it's part of. And so children have permission to create chaos as long as they're part of creating order once again.
And I suppose the opportunity also to introduce the ideas of hygiene as well. You know, after all of this and we've been messy, take the soap, clean yourselves up and explain why we're doing all of that.
That's right. And we really are talking about learning through play, learning on the run. We don't just take children in isolation and say, now this is why we wash our hands. We actually do it in situ. We do it because there's a reason to do it right now. So that we don't go and put our muddy or flowery hands all over the furniture. Because, you know, recovering or cleaning a family room suite actually costs a lot of money these days.
But I suppose as a parent as well, bringing up toddlers and so on, there's got to be an expectation of things can also go wrong. So even if you expect it to all go perfectly well, things do go wrong and they can go wrong. So anticipate a little bit of that as well.
You need to build in the chaos factor. If you've got children, there is going to be mess. Your life is changed forever. And we can't control everything children do. They're not robots. They're not automatons. They're not machines. And because of that, we have to expect the unexpected. And the unexpected could mean that they knock over a cup of juice or they trip and fall when they're walking with a bowl of food. And those are teachable moments.
Yes.
Instead of losing your cool, you need to be on the ball and positive, and you need to say, oops, oh dear, let's quickly pick it up. Come with mummy. Let's go and get a cloth. Let's wipe it up together.
Let's get a quick call from Nico in Dipcliff. Good morning, Nico.
Hi, morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. A quick question for Nikki.
Pardon?
You have a question for Nikki?
Yeah, I have a question for Nikki. Please, will Nikki leave her contact number, you know?
Yes.
My 5-year-old grandson likes playing with mud, you know, a lot. And say, look, I want to build a house.
Well, that is fantastic.
That's mud, you know.
Yeah.
I know some years back they used to sell something like clay.
Yes.
Yeah, and the line is not so clear here.
All right, I think Nico there is saying that the grandson loves to play with bricks and mud. Therein, maybe, is an architect or a builder.
Nikki. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I would be encouraging, I really would be encouraging children. Very few children today in Western society have the privilege, actually, of playing with mud and water. And as you say, there's so much to be learned through this sensory experience.
Nikki Bush, thank you so much for joining us. That's our parenting expert, Nikki Bush, talking about messy play.